Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the EPL Roundtable. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries, and as always, if you'd like to reach us at the podcast, you can do so by tweeting us at EPL Roundtable or emailing us at eplroundtable@gmail.com. All right, we are here with not a season review. We're here with a bit of a transfer update. Joining me is Sam, who you can find on Twitter at Mr. Sam E. Cox. Absolute pleasure having you back on. We have to talk about it. It's the Højbjerg for Kyle Walker-Peters air quotes swap deal. Being reported differently, all the fees being reported differently. But I guess let's just kind of start at the beginning. In January, of course, we loan you Kyle Walker-Peters, who desperately needed minutes. He finally gets them under you. You're probably aware, but in case people at home aren't, 10 appearances for Southampton, only 12 appearances for Tottenham in the previous three seasons. So he needed the minutes. Apparently sometime around there, Højbjerg gets contacted, allegedly, by Mourinho, and that's what starts that whole he'd only come to us thing. That's my understanding of how it all started. Is that the same for you? And how did you think Walker-Peters fared when he first started off?
Yeah, to touch on Kyle Walker-Peters firstly, I think he was something that we absolutely needed in January. The right back position's been a problem for Saints for a little while now. Going back a season and a half ago to January 2019, Cedric went out on loan to Inter Milan. Jan Valery came in and looked to fill the void. But the start of the season, Valery couldn't really live up to expectation. He had injury problems, loss of form, and Ralph was sort of filling in midfielders at right back, and bringing in Walker-Peters on loan was something that sort of helped us defensively and going forward. He's really, really ticked the Saints fans. Saints fans really like him. And when the season concluded, it was on sort of the top of everyone's mind to bring him in on a permanent deal. I'd go as far as saying that Walker-Peters has been our best fullback since Nathaniel Klein left. Although Cedric did a great job under Ronald Koeman. The managers and obviously the season that followed that weren't great. Obviously, relegation battles and Cedric fell out of favour. I know he's gone on to potentially better things at Arsenal, but Walker-Peters has just shown a great willingness to play Ralph's system and seem to slot in perfectly. Touching on the Højbjerg situation, I think we go back to maybe 12 months ago. There was a fan forum at St Mary's with Ralph and Højbjerg, who was obviously the captain at the time. And Højbjerg was asked about his contract because at the time he only had 2 years left. And he sort of gave an answer which didn't really answer the question, and I think that showed Saints fans that he was more than likely going to be on his way. And of course, we all knew he's going to enter his 12 months of his contract this summer. So rumours started circling, and Spurs were the first, as you say. And I'm not sure how it came about, but Spurs really seemed nailed on from the get go, and I think when you look at a club like Spurs, they come in for you. I think, especially with Jose at the helm now, it's really hard to turn that down.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, declining Spurs doesn't seem to be a thing Southampton players do a lot of. I know there's been some bad blood in the past with Pochettino getting booed when we'd returned to St. Mary's. Do you think this does anything to that dynamic of disdain between the two fan bases?
I think... It is a weird one. It is obviously at the time when Pochettino left and there was bad blood, and I think he was proved right in the end to go on to that move, as he took Spurs to the Champions League final while we scrapped out near the bottom of the table. I'm not sure in terms of the bad blood. I think the move's been pretty amicable from Højbjerg, but there's always going to be there'll always be a bit of a grudge there from some corners of St. Mary's when he returns, I'm sure, and if we're obviously allowed back into stadiums. But he, I think whenever a player moves on, you from a club like Southampton, we know where we are. We know what sort of club that we are. And if they get a bigger move and it suits us and it suits them, then I think most Saints fans will see that as a not a bad thing for him.
Yeah, you mentioned that it's fairly amicable. It's very amicable considering it ends up being allegedly a swap deal. Some saying that it's technically separate deals with a $3 million valuation difference, but the total numbers keep changing depending on whose story you're reading.
Yeah.
Pretty unclear as to what's actually going on. Just from your perception, does it sound like a swap deal, or does it largely just not matter because you're getting a player and we're getting a player?
I think from the Southampton regional journalists, it's very much two separate deals. But in effect, it is a swap deal, isn't it? With money being sort of left over, that which will come to Saints with the Højbjerg separate deal. From our end, I've seen transfer fees from 20 million plus, but then I've also seen more national journalists saying that it's more in the region of 12 to 15. So, as you say, it's a big mystery, isn't it, to what the figure is and who's done the best deal in terms of Martin Semmons from Southampton or Daniel Levy. But in effect, we get what we wanted, which is Kyle Walker-Peters, and Højbjerg gets his move. So again, it makes sense from both sides. And I think the money that comes in from Saints, hopefully we'll be able to replace. But as I say, I think the swap deal, in effect, it works for everyone.
Yeah, agreed. And I do think the interesting thing is it does leave both of us with a gap in our squads while we strengthen positions that we deemed more important or perhaps harder to fill. But I guess time will tell on that, and we'll touch on it in a second. But I just wanted to talk about Højbjerg for a bit to start, and then obviously we'll get to Kyle Walker-Peters, who we've both seen plenty of now. Yeah. But with Højbjerg, I understand he wasn't really a defensive midfielder until somewhat recently. Obviously, everyone's seen all the stats about him winning the most balls in midfield and all of that. But what's your perception of Højbjerg as a player? Obviously came from Bayern Munich with a lot of expectations surrounding him. And from the outside looking in, it seems like Southampton fans don't really feel like he got there.
No, I think you're right in saying that. He hasn't been helped by the managers that he's played under. I think he came into the club signed by Claude Puel. Wasn't the greatest football to watch, although it got results. I was in cup final and eighth place in the league, but it wasn't great. He was moved on. Pellegrino came in again, and that's when we declined a very poor appointment from Southampton, and then that was followed by Mark Hughes. So, although, yes, he came in, and I remember his first few games for Southampton, he looked fantastic. He looked like the ideal replacement for Morgan Schneiderlin under Puel, and he sort of played that system quite well. And then, for some reason, which Puel has a track record of, likes to chop and change his size, Højbjerg fell out of favour. And then he never really, really recovered from that up until sort of a year ago, really. But again, I don't think he was helped by the managers that he played under. And then, as you say, he wasn't quite a defensive midfielder. But in the system that Ralf wants to implement on the squad, that 4-2-2 with the two holding midfielders, he played that role very well. What I'll say about Højbjerg is, and I'm not trying to bash him here by saying this, but I don't think he particularly excels in just one thing. I think he's very consistent across the board. So, as you say, the most interceptions, most balls won in midfield, and he's a very busy player. But I mean that in the greatest possible way. He's everywhere. He's trying to win balls. He's trying to break the lines. He's trying to press. And for the system and for knowing what Jose wants historically, I think he's perfect for that. As I say, every time he gets in the final third, he seems to have a nosebleed. So I'm sure he'll work well under Mourinho. And as I say, he's done well. He's done well. I mean, Southampton fans will say it is a loss. It's not, looking at him, he's not one of those players that he's unreplaceable. I think if we do our due diligence and we trust our scouting system, we'll be okay without him. But I think he's done well at St Mary's, and I think, you know, He played a good part in that cup run to the EFL Cup final in 2017, and under Ralf, he's been one of our top performers. So, yeah, he maybe didn't fulfil the potential like you said, but I still think he's had a great time on the South Coast.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, and then I guess just a couple of questions from a less impartial host perspective and more of a Spurs fan's perspective. The idea seems to be to play him at a base of a midfield three with Ndombele and Lo Celso or Dele Alli, any combination of those two or two of those three. Do you think he can fulfill that role at the base? Because I know for you, you had Lamina do it at sometimes. You had Romeo do it at sometimes over the years. Is that a spot that you can see him fitting in well?
I think so, yeah. I think so. And I think it gives you options if he plays there. He's not an out-and-out defensive midfielder like someone like Wanyama, who of course made the same move from Southampton to Spurs. But I think he gives you options. And I think playing at that base, as you said earlier, with the interceptions and winning the ball back, in terms of his long distance passing, I wouldn't say that's something he's fantastic at. So in terms of winning the ball back and giving it to players who can do that job, I think it'll work well, yeah.
Gotcha. And then the other thing we were talking about was within the Spurs fan base is that Jose was out there looking for young leaders. He loves to bring in leaders, but Tottenham as a club don't sign older players. Mm-hmm. Do you think the leadership, obviously he was captain for you, do you think that leadership is something that will carry over at a bigger club as the newest person in the room? And how did you view his tenure as captain at the club?
I think so. I don't think he'll have a problem with being that person who can provide a bit of passion, provide a bit of leadership. I mean, he's played at Bayern Munich, and I think Pep Guardiola in his book wrote very highly of Højbjerg. So I don't think that will faze him just because he's new and it's a bigger club than Southampton. I think, as you say, the youngest captain in the Premier League, when I think it was Mark Hughes gave him the armband, if I'm not mistaken. And I think it was a great fit for a captain. We were desperate for leaders, similar to Spurs now in some ways. We needed a bit of leadership, and we needed a little bit of that passion on the pitch to show that, to pull other players along. And as a captain, yeah, I mean, to assess it, really, it wasn't that really that long as a time as captain, but up until sort of this transfer speculation, he was a model professional. I don't think you can argue with that on and off the pitch. And the only thing that got him stripped of the captaincy was the fact he made it public that he wanted to leave. Okay, you can criticise him for that because a captain really shouldn't have come out and said that. But again, I think he did a good job, and he worked well in Ralph's system. And I think as a captain, he'll potentially be a future Spurs captain one day. He's got that about him. And as I said, moving on to a bigger club, I don't think that'll faze him because he's played under Pep Guardiola at Bayern Munich and moved to Bayern Munich at a very, very young age. I know he's in his teens, mid-teens when he moved. So again, I don't think he'll be fazed by that. And I think he'll be able to bring that to the club.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to what he provides on the pitch, both in terms of play style and leadership, even if he isn't wearing the armband. And I think the fact that he's a polyglot, he speaks like four or five languages, yeah, will really help in our squad, as I'm sure it did for yours as well. Moving on to Kyle Walker-Peters, you already touched on him a little bit earlier. I'll just mention some of his highlights at Tottenham. Obviously, in 2018, he had 3 assists on the season. They all came in the same match, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Not great for all of the other ones. But he was just in such a weird position at Tottenham. So if anyone's wondering why we're getting rid of a right back when we need to sign a right back, and apparently we might sell Aurier as well, so we need 2 right backs, it does definitely seem strange. But I think it all comes back to Mourinho's quote when he was asked about whether or not we would retain Kyle Walker-Peters. And he said, we'd love to, but we want him to be happy. And I think finally getting minutes, playing relatively well. I know he really stood out in a couple of the higher profile matches you had after the restart. I think that really is something that he needed. Under Pochettino, he was horribly mismanaged. So if you ask a lot of Spurs fans their take on Kyle Walker-Peters, you'll get answers. Like if you asked 1 to 10, you'll get answers at every level because he was kind of an unknown. Even though he played sometimes, he was behind Trippier and Aurier for the vast majority of his career. This year, he was only behind Aurier, and then we sent him out on loan in January. As I mentioned before, only 12 appearances over the last 3 seasons. He should have been out on loan way sooner than that, but Pochettino wanted to always keep his high-level youth players in-house because he always felt that he could manage them to our style better than if they went out, learned a different style, but got minutes. And clearly, that's not the case with Mourinho. So his development was massively stalled under us. But if you ask me right now if I think that Walker-Peters has more potential than Aurier at this point, I think the answer is yes. And I think that's why a lot of Spurs fans are kind of raising their eyebrows, not just because of the squad situation of losing a right back, because of losing him in particular. You mentioned Højbjerg, really kind of a master of none kind of player, but very good at a lot of different things. I think similarly of Kyle Walker-Peters. He's not the fastest. He doesn't have the best cross on him. He isn't the best defensively. He isn't a big physical presence in defense. But I think he handles everything fairly well. And it sounds like that's kind of the difference between him and Valerie, who was pretty highly rated and seemed to have a lot of potential, all the physical tools, but didn't really put them together. And I feel like Walker-Peters is actually like the inverse of that, not to get like personal life, but if you have a bad relationship and then you swing to like whatever the opposite of that is in your next one, just kind of feels like that for me. But all the potential in the world just didn't work out for him at Tottenham. And so I think while Tottenham fans are confused as to why we've sold him, I don't think anyone begrudges him for wanting the move or making the move. And if anything, I think we're all excited to see what he can do since joining Southampton. Any of that not line up with what you've seen?
No, I think that's a fair assessment of Walker-Peters. I think very similar to Spurs with Højbjerg, Walker-Peters is someone that we desperately need in terms of the way we want to play and the personnel that we need. I remember watching, I think he played one of his 12 appearances for Spurs was against Southampton in our 2-1 victory against Spurs in 2019. And I have to say he played very well that day. And I do remember seeing him play and being impressed because I remember at the start of the game, obviously he was relatively unknown to Southampton fans at the time, maybe to some Spurs fans. So we were sort of thinking, oh, we could target him on the day, but he was very good, and then so that's what excited me about him coming, and to get him over the line and potentially permanently in the coming days is a good boost to our squad, and it sets the right tone for our transfer window, hopefully.
Yeah, and the fact that you're actually making money on bringing him in air quotes, can't hurt too much either. So yeah, that's pretty cool. It sounds like both of us relatively happy with our new signings. Again, just mild asterisk, hasn't been announced by the clubs, but basically anyone who's ever written a single word about Tottenham or Saints has already reported it by now. Who do you think, air quotes, won this deal?
To put it frankly, neither team have lost. I think they're both getting what they need. I mean, Saints have, as you said, somehow made money in a weird way in terms of the separate deal, however it's been done. But again, I think both teams have won. Neither teams have lost. Mourinho's got his man. Hasenhüttl's got his man. And both players will prove to be good assets for the future. As they're both young. I think both 23, 24. And they're both in the squads, hopefully, for a long while yet.
That's actually a great point. Yeah, I agree. I don't think either side lost. I think if Tottenham managed to sign a starting quality right back that we have air quotes won because we moved out a depth right back for a starting one and brought in a starting defensive midfielder, but it's very tight, and we haven't done that yet. So at this time, I think we're both level, and we also have to see who you bring in midfield. I'm actually a little surprised that it sounds like you're going to leave that guy that was out on loan at Fulham potentially stay there. I thought that might be the in-house replacement. So I guess it's just going to take time. We'll need like a season to see how each of them play, and we'll need to see who the players are brought in at the positions of the outgoing players at each club. You mentioned that both of them will probably get plenty of matches. I do think that Højbjerg just walks into our 11, unfortunately for Winks and Sissoko, probably similarly for you with Kyle Walker-Peters. If you had to guess how many matches or how many appearances he'll get this season, what would you say?
I've been injury free, fingers crossed, injury free. I think he starts most matches. He'd probably be one of the first names on the team sheet. So I reckon 30 plus appearances this season for sure. Because I think, like you say about the depth, our depth at right back isn't great. Jan Valeri's will be the understudy once again. But again, his form hasn't been great. Valeri looks a player who probably benefit playing as a wing back in a five, and Ralph has moved away from that into a four. So I think Walker-Peters will be the starting right back for the whole season, and injuries and rotation will be the only reason why he misses out.
Yeah, and for me, allegedly, the reason why Højbjerg was targeted over other defensive midfield prospects that we've been after for years, most notably Ndidi, who we've scouted way back since his France days, or Dennis Zakaria or Baptiste Santamaria, all of whom I would have air quotes preferred, is that Mourinho thinks that Højbjerg is what will allow him to get the most out of Ndombele and Lo Celso as a pairing, assuming that we keep Ndombele, which I think is really interesting. So if you're thinking that that's why it's specifically him, then I think he'll probably start, 30 plus matches. We're in the Europa League, so we have an extra 3 matches to even get into the group stage. So maybe even like 35 plus. Obviously not a huge money signing. It isn't one of those where you're like, well, you paid 60 million for him, you have to play him, which we didn't with Ndombele. But I think he's viewed as a crucial player. It means that Dier doesn't have to play in midfield anymore ever again. Like I said, I think it harms Sissoko and Winks, but the issue is that we had to play Sissoko and Winks to get the best out of both of them to fill one role, which I think is what we're hoping Højbjerg will be able to do on his own. But I'm done rambling about Højbjerg, who I've yet to see play for Tottenham, how he'll play for Tottenham. So we'll leave it there. Sam, an absolute pleasure catching up with you. Yeah, if you'd like to tell folks where they could find you or anything you're working on, now'd be a good time.
Yeah, just find me on Twitter at Mr. Sam E. Cox. Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And people will also have a season review with him coming out sometime soon. So thanks for coming on this, and also ahead of time coming on that one.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.